Hello, everyone. Welcome to Everybody's Got a Story. Right here, you'll find interviews with people you may know, many people you may not know. But here's the thing. I'd like to introduce you to people you should know, because my guests will share newsworthy, unusual, fun stories they have lived. You'll discover unique insight from a wide variety of perspectives, from authors to business owners, to community leaders, to everyday folks who have made a difference in numerous ways in the world. Most importantly, we'll hear why they love what they do and how they got to where they are today. In other words, what makes these storytellers tick? From interviewing hundreds of people over 25 years as a journalist and owner of my PR firm, Sharon Alden Communications, Inc., I've had an insatiable curiosity about interesting people who have interesting stories to share. So stay tuned. It's your turn to look over my shoulder and learn what my next guest has on their mind. Hello, everyone. This is Sharon Alden. Everybody's Got a Story. And today I am talking to Mary Thompson, author of the new children's book, Adventures of Coco Mia Lost. And lost is in caps. And that's important to the story that you're going to hear. The book is gaining a lot of attention. It was just released about 2 weeks ago. Is that right,
that's
Mary?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
It is inspired by Mary's dog, Coco Mia, and her real life adventures when she went missing after a car accident. And I just can't imagine the angst and the terror you must have felt during that. But first, we're going to talk a little bit about you so people know who you are, and then we'll get to Mia's story. Mary grew up on Maple Shade Farm in Mount Horeb, a place full of stories, hard work, and five generations of family members. Memories, rather. So your family had been on the same farm or in Mount Horeb?
No, on the same farm, actually. My ancestors came from Norway and were amongst the first settlers in Mount Horeb.
For heaven's sakes.
Were on that farm really up until now.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's still in existence?
It is still in existence. And sadly, my brother and his family are moving off the farm and leaving Mount Horeb to take care of her in-laws. So the farm is no longer in the Thompson name.
But you have a lot of memories of growing up there. And
oh, we had lots of family. That was the home place, if you will. So generations of relatives are always gathering there. And so it's another loss, but we have always the memories to share.
And that's a long time.
It is a long time, 140 years.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, yes.
Well, that's very special. Back to you for a minute. So you, graduated from Luther College in Decorah, Iowa, and then you went on some adventures. And tell me really fast before we talk about the book, where did you go?
Well, so I think back in the time when I was in college, traveling abroad was not really that accessible for middle to lower class families. And so it was a great opportunity that I had to spend my junior year in France. And I think that ignited my passion for adventure and travel, and I continue that to this day. So I credit my first experience with international travel to Luther College.
Good for you. So you must have been 18, 19, 20?
Right, I was about 19, I think, when I left. And remember, in those days, we didn't have any real form of communication, like email or be able to text or call home. You had to make appointments to call home, which was a whole different experience.
Oh, gosh, yes. Mm-hmm. So beyond that, you've had a career in education as a classroom teacher and Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction program manager. Mm-hmm. Do I have that right?
That's right.
And what else have you done before we get to the present day?
So I think I attribute my liberal arts education to a variety of careers within my lifetime. Like you said, I view myself as a lifelong educator and a lifelong learner. So I took my education skills and flexed it to being in a corporate environment and really spent quite a bit of my career, almost 30 years, in financial services as an HR executive. And then once I quote unquote retired, I decided that my dog had this terrible incident happen, and how could I make good come from it? So I wanted to write a book. And again, I didn't have any aspiration to be a writer, yet I thought it was a story that needed to be told.
And that's where we're going with this right now.
Yes.
And by the way, you live in Madison, correct?
Right. So I share my home with my husband, Larry, and of course our adorable pup, Coco Mia.
Coco Mia. So tell us, going back, we started out by saying that you've written the book Adventures of Coco Mia Lost. Mm-hmm. So tell us how it happened. I mean, I think the word, the words car accident are just so alarming, but this does have a happy ending. So if someone's listening and thinking, oh, no, it does have a happy ending, but there's a story to be told from the beginning to when she was found. So tell us what happens.
Sure. So first I'd like to tell the true story that inspired the book. And my pup was out with her pack, two other dogs, and the pack leader, our dog walker, when they were struck by a car, a distracted driver who didn't see them in the crosswalk and missed the stop sign. Mm-hmm. So one thing on top of another. So very tragic. Fortunately, all survived. But my pup, Coco Mia, was so scared that she just took off.
Oh.
And she ran and she went missing for 24 hours, which as any pet owner can only imagine the horror and the terror that you feel of what could happen to your dog when it's out overnight. You don't know, one, if it's so injured that we won't be able to find her. Two, another animal might get her. Three, a human might take her.
Sure.
So all that is going through our heads.
And you were where? You weren't around when the accident happened, is that right?
That's true. So our dear dog, just like any child, you have a babysitter. So we have a dog sitter where Coco Mia stays. And she was there at the time. And fortunately, we learned of all the particulars after they had occurred and she was found. But I guess what I really want to shout out is the community effort. And it kind of goes to the heart of the book. It was a community that of strangers and friends alike that came together. They went door to door looking for Coco Mia. They put posters on trees and bulletin boards and notified others through social media. The police were notified. And through all of that effort, she was found the next day dragging her leash as she approached a construction site where the workers recognized her, returned her to the police, who returned her back to the dog sitter. So it's quite remarkable that she was discovered.
And let's say where this was. This was in Madison?
So actually this took place in Sun Prairie.
Okay.
Yes,
okay.
Sun Prairie, Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm. And she was found in Sun Prairie.
Yes, she was.
Okay.
Yep. Mm-hmm. By the Sun Prairie community.
Well, and it was online and people on the ground basically going.
It was everybody.
Everyone.
It was the community, yes, that came together.
And so I was going to talk to you about this later, but since we're talking about the fact that she was found through the efforts of strangers and people who knew her and knew you. But let's talk safety for a minute here, because you had told me off air that she has a microchip. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
So how did that play a part or not?
So the key takeaways for me, and it's always clear, right, in hindsight, that yes, our dog is microchipped. And falsely, you think, oh, the dog will be found, and then they'll identify where the dog belongs and return the dog to the owner. Well, if the dog, him, her, herself, are missing, how are you going to find them? There's really no way. There's no tracking mechanism. So a key takeaway for us was that there really is power in a GPS or an Apple AirTag, something that you can actually locate your mm-hmm. animal once mm-hmm. it goes missing. So we're really an avid fan now of pet safety in that regard, and she has an Apple AirTag that she wears on her mm-hmm. collar.
Mm-hmm. And that's something that you would recommend for other dog owners?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because, again, falsely thought that the microchip was the way to find your dog. Mm-hmm. Well, not when your dog is missing.
And I think that microchip interest, and actually I think many, if not most, veterinarians would recommend microchip, or did over the course of many, many years, because I've had many dogs, and that was like one of the first things you did when you had you either bought a dog or else you got a puppy that, you know. That
was and I would say that was probably version, 1.0, and now the Apple AirTags and GPS are probably 2 to 3.0. We continue to, improve technology. I think there's a place still for microchipping because if the dog is found, you still can locate the owner. It's like a collar, but it's only as good as if you could find the animal. So
in the book, and I'm going to return to the book here for a minute. Mm-hmm. In the book, you don't talk about all the different people that found her. It really is more about the imaginative animals that she probably met on her journey. Is that correct?
Right. So the story actually inspired me to write about the lessons learned in this whole process. And we can only imagine what happened to Coco Mia when she was out. So rather than writing some formal paper, I wanted to tell it to children whose parents may be reading the story to them. So in fact, the parents learn as well as the children. So the story is geared for 3 to 6 year olds mm-hmm. or young readers, 6 to 7. Reading specialists have weighed in on that grade level. But clearly it's for both young and old readers, older readers. So the story itself then talks about Coco Mia being struck by a vehicle, but then we can only imagine what happens to her. And so it's her friends and her in the forest mm-hmm. that help her find her way back.
Okay. So it's a little different than the local police department
exactly.
and so forth because
exactly.
of the age group.
Age group and telling the story that way.
I want to return to you as the writer for a few minutes because
sure.
before Coco Mia was lost, you had not written a book. Is that correct?
That's right. I think I said in my opening remarks that I really had no aspiration to be a writer, but I felt compelled to tell the story. And so my mom was very instrumental in encouraging me to do so. And once I had the opportunity to write it, I thought, well, let's go for it and see what happens. So that's what we did.
And how long did it take you to, from the idea to actually 2 weeks ago or thereabouts, having that hard copy book in your hands? How long was that?
Well, once I decided that I was making the commitment, I would say it took about a year. Mm-hmm. The book has been, it was picked up by a publisher, Orange Hat Publishing, and we've worked on this together with very serious deadlines with the goal to get it launched by September 6th, which is happening mm-hmm. just next week. So we met all of our deadlines through thick and thin. The illustrator that I am so happy to announce, Dylan Rogers, was brought to my attention through Rotary. Mm-hmm. And I am a Rotary member of downtown Madison, and she has illustrated for another Rotarian. I got to meet her that way, and she was thrilled to be able to illustrate Adventures of Coco Mia Lost. It was her first formal project of writing a complete children's story, and she will be a senior at the Milwaukee Institute of Art Design. I'm so proud of her.
Nice.
I think the illustrations have been getting rave reviews from the people mm-hmm. who have seen it, and really she has brought the story to life.
Yes. The book is beautiful, by the way.
Thank you.
Children's books should be beautiful mm-hmm. because a lot of your audience would not be able to read them on their own.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a beautiful, but it's not a picture book. I mean, it has a beautiful story that can be read to them, and they can learn from it.
Mm-hmm.
So who else with Rotary? That I know you had some connections with Rotary that just the adventure of becoming a writer and then finding you had these links within Rotary.
So I've been a member of the Rotary Club of Madison for about 10 years and have developed many connections. And if your listeners may not be familiar with Rotary, our mission is to connect, grow, and serve. And so I feel like the storyline really aligns to the values of Rotary. And I thought intentionally I wanted to draw from Rotary connections in my talent pool. So not only Dylan Rogers as my illustrator, I have Lauren Downham as my digital specialist, and you, Sharon Alden, as my publicist.
Well, thank you. I wasn't really going there.
It's okay.
For people listening going, okay.
It's okay.
A little plug for yourself.
Yeah.
No, not at all. Mary is here because she's got a good story to tell, and that's the name of the program. Everybody's mm-hmm. got a story.
Mm-hmm.
So the book is out. Now, let's talk about, we're going to talk about the book launch, because that's a very important piece mm-hmm. of this story. But before we do, what have some of the people said to you when they've seen the book or you have read to them at various programs? What's the reaction so far?
I would say that we tested the material even before it went to print, and the reaction from small children has always been very positive, and people are very, the younger folks are very disturbed about the accident and very happy when she survives and she gets back home. So the reactions is emotional. It has a lot of ups and downs with a happy ending. And generally when speaking to children, they have other activities they can do. We have coloring sheets from the book so they can actually color in like how they imagine it. And we try to do visioning about, you know, this could be other dogs as well. And so you can imagine what mm-hmm. it must have been like. So we try to carry it out in many, many sensory ways.
Mm-hmm. And you bring her to book events when able.
When able. When and able. That actually, I should not have been surprised, but she is such a family member and we take her everywhere. Uh-huh. But we plan our schedule, I think, around her as well. Unfortunately, even though Madison is generally dog friendly, there are many places that do not allow dogs. Uh-huh. So we just have to be very conscious of that and make sure we ask where Copamia can come.
Well, I was just going to point out, because I know firsthand from talking to you about various events, that you are very good about asking mm-hmm. ahead of time rather than just bringing her, as much as it sounds like she's easy to love.
Well, she's easy to love. And I don't think I've described her yet, but she's just a little fluff ball, 15 pounds of Shih Tzu poodle, and loves to be loved, and she loves you right back. So very, very good nature. We were certainly blessed. She's been a joy ever since we've had her.
And I think what you're describing at various events that have said thank you, but no thank you, because it's not about her. It's about their own policies.
Their policies, ordinances, et cetera. Yes.
Yeah. So, right. You know, and at least you, if you didn't ask, though, you wouldn't know. And
right.
So I give you credit for that.
Thank you.
So, all right. So what I have to do here is take a break, Mary, and I have to give some credit to our sponsor. So, and I'll be back in a second. You're listening today to Everybody's Got a Story on 103.5 The Sun Community Radio, coming to you from the 103.5 studios, underwritten by the Bank of Sun Prairie. So now let's get back to the book itself and the event that's coming up next week. So you will have Coco Mia, you will have books fresh off the press. What else? What's going on? Tell us what's going
on. So very excited to tell you that we have activities planned for younger people. Again, those coloring sheets. We'll have a maze to help Coco Mia find her way home. There'll be stickers. There'll be temporary tattoos. There'll be a photo booth for children or adults with the doghouse. Coco Mia will be in attendance. There will be book sales. We'll have a raffle for door prizes, and it should be a lot of fun. There'll be a short program where I will be interviewed and share certain pages from the book, but okay. We hope to have great attendance and that you all will put it on your calendar for September 6th.
At what time?
From 10 to 11:30 at the Goodman Center.
Okay.
And that's 214 Wabisa Street in here in Madison. And it's in the Brassworks building, which is across the street from the main building, but we'll have signs posted so you can see where to go.
And if you're listening and don't know where that is, it's the east side of Madison.
Right.
Yeah.
Near east side.
Yeah, near east side, yeah. And those of you who are listening, of course, can't see me smiling, but when you said... She will be in attendance. I just love it. It's star power. You know, it's,
you should see her outfit for the
star.
Day.
Oh, she's wearing an outfit?
Oh, she'll have sparkles on, yes.
Oh, I love it. Just that vision alone is enough to go over there.
There you go.
And parking, let's talk that. You've got parking available.
So there will be, because it's a Saturday, there will be parking available around the building, both buildings, and also street parking is available.
Okay. And since we have talked about places that have been okay or not with bringing pets, what's the policy there?
So the policy at Goodman Center is they are allowing Coco Mia to attend, but other dogs must, you know, stay home
stay
for
home.
This one. Yes.
Yeah. Well, and you don't know how many people are coming, and so...
No, it is a public invitation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I certainly have many friends and family that are supporting me, but I certainly want to invite all people that are pet lovers to come out and see what it's all about.
So before we say goodbye for today, we've got 5-6 minutes or so. What are the main takeaways of your book? And then tell me after that, where can they purchase your book if they can't make it to this book launch?
Sure.
So let's start with, what are, if you're describing it to someone who, you're doing it today here on air, but, you know, just a quick, couple of quick takeaways. What are the main points of the book and why you wrote it, of course?
Well, again, I think the inspiration came from Coco Mia's tragedy and her great ending. She was badly bruised, but astoundingly, no broken bones. Mm-hmm. It took, I think, about a year for her injuries to heal, and she still needs to see a chiropractor, but we're very grateful. Mm. So I think that beyond the pet safety issues, I think the courage that animals have, imagine what
yes.
she faced.
Yes.
The community that came together, and then kindness, the kindness of everybody that's been involved has just been far beyond my expectations.
And I would think, Mary, that anyone who's ever had a pet, even other pets rather than dogs, can relate, because the idea of losing a dog or a cat or whatever, a cherished mm-hmm. pet mm-hmm. you have, the idea of it being out there wandering around, and like you said earlier, you know, just being cold and frightened and so forth, it's terrifying for pet owners. And you have a wonderful ending,
but
it also reinforces the fact that there are good people out there.
Mm-hmm.
Really, a lot of good people out there.
And I think we need to remember this
yes.
as we read all the tragic stories
Absolutely.
That happen every day.
I think your book is coming out at a wonderful time, because we need stories of hope and faith
mm-hmm.
and just the kindness of
and
others.
And kindness,
yeah,
absolutely.
The kindness is a key word here.
Mm-hmm.
So anything else that you would like to tell us about? Now, that's the book launch. Any other books... where we can buy the book.
Yes, yes, that was the next thing I was going to mention. If you're unable to make the book launch, Coco Mia's website is up. It's The Adventures of Coco Mia, just like the book, altogether.com. Adventures of Coco Mia, COCOMIA.com. And you'll be able to see illustrations from the book, the storyline, meet the pack. They're free downloadable things for joining the pack. Just lots of fun. The book, of course, is available for purchase. We're accepting all methods of payment, as well as an adventure kit that we put together. And I'm proud of this little adventure kit. It's a paw print backpack, which includes a little stuffy that looks like Coco Mia, along with the book, the bookmark, and a picture of her.
A couple of things. I didn't ask you, how old is she?
She's four.
Four.
Mm-hmm. And this accident occurred when she was two.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So she's still going through some post-accident health.
Well, I would say this. She sees a chiropractor regularly.
Mm-hmm.
Who knew there was a vet that is a chiropractor? But that is,
I didn't.
That's a real thing. I highly encourage it for pets that have had these kinds of issues or accidents.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the other thing that I wanted to do, her veterinarian, who has been key in the getting her through this whole process, considers herself someone that can communicate with animals. And I said, well, what is Coco Mia telling you? And Coco Mia is telling me, get over it, Mom. I'm just fine.
Oh, I love that. I love that. The way you have described her, and I must say, I have not met her. We've almost met a couple of times, but not yet. She sounds like someone who, she knows what she wants and needs.
Oh, yes. And the older she gets, the more she is demanding it.
Before I let you go, where did the name come from?
So it's an interesting story. Coco Mia is a pandemic dog.
Okay.
And, you know, we're all sitting around staring at each other during that horrible time. It seems so long ago now, but it really wasn't.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah, but it really wasn't.
No.
And so we found her online, and she has been just a true blessing. But my brother, Rod, would call us every day and talk to my mom and me and Coco. Her name is Coco. But he would sing to her, Coco Mia, Coco Mia, like the Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh.
And so she got that name from him.
Oh, my goodness. That is an interesting story.
Yeah.
So when you're calling her, you're summoning her.
Yes.
Do you call her Coco or do you say Coco Mia?
She'll answer to both.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay.
So generally now we call her Coco Mia.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, she's got quite a celebrity lineup of things to come, doesn't she? Starting with the launch party. That's going to be interesting.
It will be very interesting. And so I'm expect the unexpected and go with the flow. That's my motto.
Well, you almost have to.
Yes, yeah. Right.
Oh, fun.
Yes.
Mary, I've got to close for today. Mary Thompson has been my guest today on Everybody's Got a Story. And launch is next week for her book, Adventures of Coco Mia. And I hope to have you back again sometime soon.
Thank you,
Thank
Sharon.
Thank you for being here. We've reached that time in today's broadcast when I have the privilege of thanking you for listening all the way to the end of Everybody's Got a Story, hosted by yours truly, Sharon Alden. I'll be back in the studio soon when my next guest shares their one-of-a-kind story with you. So, stay tuned. Until then, I'm out of here.